Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Coming up on show 619, Tesla stuns with their latest numbers. And what does it mean for the electric car industry? Well, Tesla updated with shock positive news, back to profitability, huge efficiencies found. A big, big story today to talk about. So I think I'll check how we go with the time, but I think it'll probably take over the whole of EV News Daily today. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to the show. Wednesday, 23rd of October. This is the show for then. I'm recording the show slightly late. Because of the time difference, the way it works, the earnings call is 11:30 in the evening. You listen to it, digest it, edit the clips, write the show, early hours of the morning. Then Thursday was a busy day. So it's at the end of my Thursday that I'm now sitting down to actually record what I'd written 12 hours ago, more than that. And so chances are you might even be listening to this on a Friday. So thank you for your patience with this. So let's kick off then. The Tesla Q3 earnings report shocks the world with profits is how Eric Loveday at Inside EVs described yesterday. And you know what? I think I would tend to agree with that headline. Well, the headlines from Tesla's earning call, at least for me, as I'm a general EV fan. I'm not someone who gets a great deal of joy reading lengthy investor presentations, although I do, to understand what's happening with Tesla and how it affects everybody else. But the news from Tesla yesterday, coming from someone like me, and this is a very general podcast about the general EV industry and energy and renewables. It's not a pure Tesla podcast. There's better ones out there than this show. If you want to get really deep into the real nitty gritty, into the weeds with it. From my perspective of trying to go up to 1,000 feet and look down on this situation and go, what does it mean? What does all of the headlines mean for Tesla and the rest of the car industry? This is what I think we can take away from the earnings call. And I think it's twofold. And firstly, Tesla are getting way better at what they currently do. They're getting way better with existing things. And I'll explain what I mean by that soon. Secondly, my second point, and a result of the first point, the future roadmap is looking terrifying for those who are trying to compete but not spending serious money. I think if you want to compete with what Tesla are doing and you want to be selling a lot of EVs in the future, then you're investing some big, big bucks to compete with what's happening there. That's not to say others can't compete. I'm not single-minded about Tesla. But as we saw last week, with an engineering genius company like Dyson, experts in making consumer goods, they said, we can't make EVs work with a £2.5 billion investment budget. All the other car and energy companies will be innovating and spending at a rate which, let's be honest, they simply don't want to do, and they didn't want to do. They were very happy making petrol and diesel cars. EVs were on their roadmap, but Tesla changed everything. Without Tesla, they would be making EVs as curiosities or concept cars, and in the next 10 years, we'd all get round to driving a mainstream EV. I've been through what Elon said. And as always, I'm going to play you what I think are the highlights. It's always about an hour. It's a long call. And I've just taken out a few of the highlights that I think you might enjoy with this being a general podcast about EVs. So, after hours, when the stock market closed, share price went up $51, and if you're not aware of the share price of Tesla in perspective, it went to $306. That's a 20% increase. The expectations were utterly crushed. They took a similar amount of revenue in, but because they spent less money making cars, a lot more goes to the bottom line. $1.2 billion gross profit. something they get criticised a lot for, which is adjusting their prices. It's seen almost as a valid criticism of Tesla because the other car companies aren't doing it. Yeah, but the dealers are, right? They've said that they've got so much better recently at adjusting the prices of cars according to the demand in various markets to make the most money they can and sell the most cars. They're still spending about $330 million in R&D. They have a net income by the time you take their gross income and take off all the costs, which is vastly simplifying what it is $143 million of net income, of gap profitability, call it what you will. $6.3 billion of revenue. That's huge. $6.3 billion of revenue, and yet it's down about 8% compared to last year, and they still turned a very healthy profit. Now, what was down? Well, the Model S and the Model X were down this quarter because they continue to become more and more luxury items, or as Elon says, the Fabergé egg, the Model X. Capital expenditure was also questioned about why it wasn't higher. Yes, the analysts were saying, why aren't you spending more on capital expenditure? In other words, spending money on the things that make the things. And they had to reply and say, we've just got better at spending that money. Again, coming back to what I think are the two fundamentals of trying to boil down what is enormously complex thing into just two things. They've just got better at doing, in the last 3 months, they got better at doing the things they've been doing, and that has meant that what's happening in the future is looking very impressive. What about storage? 477, almost 500 megawatt hours of storage delivered. Remember, storage was never really talked about up till now. We'll find out why in a moment when I play you some clips. And if you think about what 477 megawatt hours of storage, which have gone into homes and commercial uses in power walls and power packs, solar was up 48%, and positive cash flow year over the year. The whole thing about Tesla burning cash, there is a fudster trope that goes around the internet with alarming regularity, and even journalists, we'll call them, Even they fall for this. The idea that Tesla is burning through money and that one day they will go, they will become extinct is simply not true. Positive cash flow over a trailing 12 months, soon to be over 24 months as well. Just utterly brilliant. Before we get to Elon himself, let's go around the grounds. In other words, let's look at the headlines, which got immediately written in the minutes and hours after everyone was scratching their head, working out where on earth this amazing result came from. Tesla's stock price surges as Musk's cost cuts and smart summon deliver a profit, says the LA Times. Elon Musk's Tesla crushes profit targets, says Fox Business. Tesla has made a profit. Repeat, Tesla has made a profit, says the Register. Tesla stuns with a surprise profit and faster progress on new models and factory, says the Independent. Tesla shares soar as Elon Musk packs profit report with positives, says the alliterative Yahoo. If you didn't buy a Tesla, you just made a mistake, says Clean Technica. Tesla delivers supercharged quarterly profits, loaded with results and positivity, says the National. Tesla packs profit report with positivity as Musk breaks the mold, says investing.com. Tesla shares soar 21% as surprise profit answers skeptics, says MoneyWeb. The Aussies called it a jaw-dropper. Tesla stock soars after company reveal, surprise, Sydney Morning Herald. And Elon Musk predicts Tesla Energy could be bigger than its EV business, says TechCrunch. Here we go. Let's get on to Elon's clips then. These are the bits that I've listened through to the call 2-3 times now in various bits of it, and these are the highlights. I'm going to play you... these are edited highlights, by the way. This is a slightly shortened, redacted, if you like, intro from Elon, just to take out any pauses or interruptions and questions, things like that. This was Elon's opening. Now, before you listen to this, it's only a couple of minutes long. It's like a greatest hit set of any piece of positive good news that Tesla could possibly deliver. It's like their greatest hits album. It's like going to a Rolling Stones concert. Mick Jagger walks out on stage and he opens with Gimme Shelter and follows up with Satisfaction and You Can't Always Get What You Want. And you're thinking, steady on, Rolling Stones. You're going to use up all your best songs before you've even got halfway through the gig. Then they play Under My Thumb and Wild Horses and Angie and you're like, hang on a minute, Mick. Slow down, play an album track, and he comes back with Brown Sugar and Start Me Up. This is like a greatest hit set of all the things that if you're a Tesla fan, you could want to hear. Here's Elon Musk.
Q3 was obviously a very strong quarter. We had record deliveries. We were able to make great strides in controlling our costs. We shifted back to GAAP profitability while also generating strong free cash flow. Our operating cost is now at the lowest level since Model 3 production started. Regarding Gigafactory Shanghai, this month we started trial production at Giga Shanghai and have built four vehicles from body to paint to general assembly. So this is a, I want to emphasize, this is a real factory with a tremendous amount of equipment in it. While a lot of people see the side show of the factory, which is enormous and was essentially underwater in January, below the water table, literally. What is, I think, much more significant is that we're able to install massive stamping machines, fully operational paint shop, and a sophisticated general assembly line in the same period of time in parallel with building the building. I'm not aware of any factory of this magnitude in history being constructed in such a short period of time, approximately 10 months. As far as I know, this is unprecedented. And Gigafactory Shanghai will become our template for future growth. We're planning to build Model Ys in Shanghai as well, of course, and to build a Gigafactory in Europe. And we hope to announce the location of that Gigafactory. In fact, we will announce the location of that Gigafactory before the end of this year. Regarding Model Y, we're also ahead of schedule on Model Y preparations in Fremont, and we've moved the launch timeline from fall 2020 to summer 2020. I've actually recently driven the Model Y release candidate and think it's going to be an amazing product and be very well received. I think it's quite likely to outsell S, X, and 3 combined. And regarding version 10 and Smart Summon, last month we released our latest software, version 10, which includes video streaming, games, karaoke, Spotify, and a host of other new features and improvements. Most importantly, it includes the first version of Smart Summon, which has now been used a million times. In the next week or so, we will be releasing an improved version of Smart Summon, taking into account all the data from those million Smart Summon attempts. This really illustrates the value of having a massive fleet, because it allows us to collect these corner cases and learn from them and use fleet learning and become rapidly better, just as Navigator and Autopilot did on the freeway. So we expect a number of improvements in Smart Summon in the weeks to come. And this is really just the beginning as we collect more data and Autopilot and full self-driving functionality get better. While it's going to be tight, it still does appear that we'll be at least in early access release of a feature complete full self-driving feature this year. It's not for sure, but it appears to be on track for at least an early access release of a fully functional full self-driving by the end of this year. Yeah, lastly, we're highly focused on decisions that really make a material difference to the company, such as opening gigafactories in other continents. Yes, it's worth noting that these, ultimately having 3 gigafactories effectively will triple our output. And then when you consider increased output per gigafactory, it's going to actually more than triple our output over time. There are a lot of interesting things happening with respect to advanced batteries and more efficient powertrains and full self-driving and all that sort of stuff, but that will be something for a future time. So tomorrow afternoon, we'll be releasing version 3 of the Tesla Solar Roof. That's the solar panels are integrated with the roof. Version 1 and 2, we're still sort of figuring things out. Version 3, I think, is finally ready for the big time. Scaling up production of the version 3 solar tile roof at our Buffalo Gigafactory. And I think this product is going to be incredible. But we'll talk more about that on the official product launch, which will be tomorrow afternoon.
And breathe. Let me recap some opening thoughts. Record deliveries. Costs down. Back to profit. Operating costs to do their thing, to make their cars the lowest it's ever been since they started making Model 3s. Gigafactory 3 is making cars, but it's making cars in somewhere that's got a body shop, it's got general assembly, it's got stamping machines and paint shops installed whilst the building was being built. Model Y will be built at Giga Shanghai. Gigafactory 4, announced in 2020, so in the next couple of months, by the way, smart money on Germany, don't quote me, making cars by 2021. Model Y moves forward by 3 months. Model Y will outsell S, 3 and X combined. Version 10 Smart Summon used a million times already. Second version of Smart Summon coming in coming weeks. And because of fleet learning, the unique, at the moment, before the other car makers can get their cars onto the market, the unique advantage that Tesla has is a huge installed base of cars and every single one of them connected and talking to the mothership. Full self-driving, feature complete by the end of the year. Batteries and powertrain. There's no time for that. He said, oh, we'll update you later on that. There's a battery day, by the way, next year. Version 3 of integrated solar roof tiles announced Thursday or Friday, actually, by the way. That may be delayed slightly. Right. Here is a second clip where Elon is effervescent about their solar and energy business.
I think there's generally a lack of understanding or appreciation for the growth of Tesla Energy, as Kunal was talking about. In the long term, I expect Tesla Energy to be of the same, roughly the same size as Tesla's automotive business. It could be bigger, but it's certainly of a similar magnitude Tesla solar, meaning Tesla solar plus battery stuff is the Tesla Energy is I think the least appreciated element. I don't know, for about 18 months, almost two years, we had to divert a tremendous amount of resources. We basically take resources from everywhere else in the company and apply them to the Model 3 production, fixing the Model 3 production ramp and simplifying the design of Model 3. So for about a year and a half, we unfortunately stripped Tesla Energy of engineering and other resources and even took the cell production lines that were meant for Powerwall and Powerpack and redirect them to the car because we didn't have enough cells. Now that we feel that Model 3 production is in a good place and headed to a great place, we've restored resources to Tesla, solar, and storage. Really crazy growth for as far into the future as I can imagine. But it would be difficult for me to overstate the degree to which I think Tesla Energy is going to be a major part of Tesla's activity in the future. Tesla's mission from the beginning has been to accelerate the advent of sustainable energy. That means sustainable energy generation and sustainable energy consumption in the form of vehicles, electric vehicles. And I think one of the stats we'll publish in the future, along with our vehicle production, is that how much sustainable energy Tesla produced or Tesla customers produced with our products. And I think you'll see that we're producing about the same or comparable amounts of sustainable energy as are consumed in the car. For the longest time, the rebuttal against electric cars like, or don't they use dirty power from coal? Well, no, we're solar power, and that's obviously the solar power came from companies not just Tesla, but you have to solve sustainable generation and sustainable consumption, and that's what we're doing. And we'll do more of it.
You know, I think that's something that gets forgotten by so many people that look at Tesla as a car company and compare them to car companies. And they cannot get their head around the fact that in so many ways, Tesla isn't a car company. It's a Silicon Valley tech company. It's a software company. It's an AI company. It's an energy company. I'm not sure whether the actual quote was in that clip, because I was making notes even as that was playing then. But there's a phrase that Elon used, which is they want Tesla to become a giant distributed energy company. In other words, when as many houses as possible are covered with Tesla solar panels, then Tesla are making the electricity, putting it into the cars that you drive, and therefore they have a pretty big part in your life. It's just amazing, the plans for solar and energy. And I'm really excited. I'm, you know, as excited I am about electric cars. I can't wait to put solar PV on my roof. It'll be early next year. Hopefully by spring next year. I've been saving up, and we're just about there with it. And so I'm really looking forward to the days that when our EV is parked in the driveway and we're not using it, and we've got a little zappy charger on the side of the house. We haven't yet, by the way. Need to buy that. And And then any excess solar is heating the water and charging the car. And I can't wait to do all of that stuff. Right, let's move on. Another clip now talking about how soon they'll be making the Model Y.
What really matters is the timing to volume production, where volume production is some number in excess of 1,000 units per week. And we're confident of reaching that point no later than the middle of 2020.
Remember, the Model Y, they predict, will outsell the S3 and the X combined, and they've brought it forward by 3 months. Just brilliant. Right, let's talk about volume production starting in Gigafactory Shanghai, and what is that second building all about? They've started. The answer is batteries and cells.
Yeah, we're in trial production of Model 3, basically sending cars through the system and ramping rapidly, expecting to hit volume production in a few months, essentially. The second building is indeed for battery and module production. There's probably going to be a bunch more construction beyond what's already there, because obviously we need to build out facilities for Model Y production at Shanghai as well.
So yeah, in China, making cells, making the cells into batteries, putting the batteries into cars, which will be Model 3s, which will be Model Ys as well, and by early next year, volume production. Which Elon's definition, again, I forget if I put it into the show or not, volume production by his definition is 1,000 cars every single week. All right, let's move on. And somebody had to ask him about the Tesla truck, which is being revealed in November. He was never going to give any more information on this call. This call isn't about product launches and stuff, but he did mention it, and I love the fact that he calls it the Cyber Truck. It's all about being a cyberpunk truck. Have a listen.
My opinion, and this could be totally wrong, it could be totally out to lunch here, but I think the Tesla Cyber Truck is our best product ever. Demand is not seems to be strong. Should be production constrained this quarter.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. And you know, the truck is going to be... No, it's a November announcement. We'll see it soon. The Cybertruck is coming. Let's move on to why. I mean, the S and the X sales were down, but if you desperately wanted a Tesla before the Model 3, maybe you would have found a way to get an S or an X, or you would have bought a car that big and you didn't really want one. Like, I wouldn't, we can't have an S or an X because our garage wouldn't fit one, you know, and actually they're, I think, a little too big for some of the English roads, the country roads that we drive, and great for motorways, by the way, but a Model 3 is much more suited to us. So lots of people in the same boat would buy a Model 3 now, even if they previously would have got an S or an X. So those sales are down, but as Elon says, they are more like luxury items now. And also, I love the fact that we are like 40 minutes into the call now, and they go, oh yeah, oh, I meant to say, by the way, totally forgot, slipped my mind, should have put a post-it note on my screen. Everybody who owns a Tesla, your car is about to get better. A percentage improvement in performance in one-pedal driving, which to me sounds like even stronger regen, all the way down to 0 miles an hour. I've never heard them mention one-pedal driving before. Faster charging for Model 3 owners, those owners of the Standard Range and Standard Range Plus. Your car is about to supercharge even quicker, and that is huge news on any other day, and yet it was almost an afterthought. Have a listen.
The Model S literally won MotorTrend's best car ever in history. If you're out there and you're buying and you're standby and you don't buy a Model S, I think you've just made a mistake, to be totally frank. It's incredible, especially the new one with the, you know, variable damping, suspension, hospital operating room, HEPA filter for air purification, the Raven powertrain. It's the fastest car in the world. It's so easy to drive. It makes you feel like Superman driving that car. It's incredibly safe, an amazing vehicle. And then Model X is like a Fabergé egg of cars. I mean, that's why so many artists and musicians buy the cars. This is an art piece, basically. Basic Model S at this point has a range of 370 miles. Actually, technically, it's 373, but we actually certified it incorrectly as 370, but it's 373. And there are some software improvements that we think will make that even better. Oh, I forgot to mention, we're also expecting there's going to be an over-the-air improved that will improve the power of the Model S, X, and 3. That's, by the way, it's coming in a few weeks. It should be on the order of 5% power improvement due to improved firmware. Drew, do you want to say anything on that?
We just continue to learn how to optimize the motor control in our products. And, so 5% improvement for all Model 3 customers and 3% for S and X.
Yeah, and there's also the single pedal driving.
Yep.
That will improve the range as well.
Mm-hmm. Very excited about that. It's an improvement in comfort and feel.
It's easier to drive and it improves the range.
Yes, and faster supercharging.
Oh, and faster supercharging.
For standard range and standard range plus customers, which is a big deal.
I don't think there's ever been a situation in history where you buy a car and it gets way better over time just due to software. Like, not a little bit better, but a lot.
Wow, that was a long one today. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you very much for the delay, bearing with my delay as well. Let's move on to question of the week this week. Question of the week is set by your fellow listener, Chris, and I'll read out your answer on Sunday. Would you buy a new EV that doesn't have a CCS plug? So AC charging only, i.e. a Zoe, CHAdeMO plug only, like a Nissan. Would you buy one, or would you be put off by that? I drive a Zoe, so clearly there's my answer. There are plenty for me of AC charging opportunities. I don't have an issue with it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have bought my second one. So, but what do you think? What do you think? Because he thinks that CCS is kind of the way to go. You can email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Leave a comment online. Thank you to 258 patrons of this podcast. I will put all of today's show notes, if anyone's interested, on Patreon and the blog at evnewsdaily.com. Thank you very much to my premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby and Avid Technology. And of course, thank you as always to myev.com for helping make this show. I missed their mention at the beginning of the program. If you would like to get the new podcasts, or you can get them first and free and automatically by being a subscriber, please share the podcast with anybody who you think might be interested in all this stuff that you and I talk about. And in the meantime, come and say hi by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.